Open Court mit einer neuen Folge. Herzlich willkommen, ihr Lieben. Schön, dass ihr dabei seid. Der Podcast des FC Bayern Basketball. Dieser Podcast in Englisch. Und das hat einen Grund, denn ich freue mich sehr, dass einer unserer neuen Spieler bei mir ist. Jack White. Er ist, und heute ist Freitag. Er ist also gerade mal seit 8 Tagen in Deutschland und hat wahrscheinlich schon erste kleine Erfahrungen gemacht hier und hat auch noch ein bisschen Jetlag oder nicht. Jack White auf jeden Fall insofern ein super spannender Spieler, weil er eine ganz interessante Basketballkarriere, zum einen in Australien, zum anderen hat er auch in den Vereinigten Staaten bisher in seinem noch jungen Alter gehabt hat. Er hat unter anderem auch einige NBA-Spiele gespielt, 17 an der Zahl, für die Denver Nuggets, für die Memphis Grizzlies und er ist jetzt bei den Bayern, um bis zum Ende der Saison in der BBL zu helfen. In der Euroleague darf er nicht spielen, konnte da nicht eingesetzt werden, aber in der BBL will er natürlich helfen auf dem Weg zum Titel. Deswegen sage ich hier ab jetzt auf Englisch, a very warm welcome to Jack White. Hi, how are you?
Thank you, I'm good. Appreciate you having me on.
And thank you for having English. Yeah, for sure. I will do my very best in English, for sure. Jack, so what about the situation now? I think 7 or 8 days here in Germany. How do you feel? Is there kind of jet lag?
Yeah, feeling really good at this point. I was definitely waking up early the first few days, but when it came to Sunday's game day, you know, woke up early, stayed up, had shoot around, went back to the hotel for a nap, was up for the game, and then after that I was good from there. So
the first game was after a few hours in Germany, right?
Yeah, first game. So I landed Thursday night last week, and then we had the game on Sunday, but the guys were playing in Belgrade in the early game against Maccabi. Tough game. And then I was struggling for a few days, but I'm good now.
How interesting or maybe difficult is it to meet up a team in a situation of the season, in a moment of the season like this? At the end of the season, there's a crunch time in the EuroLeague, that's just before the playoffs in the BBL. How difficult is that to come as a new player?
Yeah, it's a unique situation, a situation that I haven't, I guess, experienced before, but one that I guess I was ready to, you know, sort of have a red hot crack at and, you know, see how I fit in. But I think for me coming in, finding the balance between trying to be yourself, but at the same time trying to, you know, fit in seamlessly. Like, obviously the team's already gone through majority of their season. And as you said, are at the tail end of it. And for me coming in, like, I really wanted to be sort of low maintenance, just sort of fit in as well as I could, but at the same time, like, try and be an aggressive, assertive player and bring my strengths to the group, but not do it in a way that sort of disrupts, I guess, any sort of flow that the team has to their season or anything like that. And I think for me, it was a good challenge to, you know, try and learn quickly how I could best fit myself in, trying to learn, you know, how guys play by watching and, you know, experiencing that in practice. But got thrown into it pretty quick with the game Sunday and Tuesday, the BBL games, and it's been fun so far. And I think for me coming here, like, I've never played professional basketball in Europe. I'd never been to Germany before, and I think
never been before. All right, okay.
But I think it's, you know, I've tried my best to, you know, sort of do my part in making this transition as smooth as possible, but it wouldn't be possible without having, you know, great people around, like teammates, staff, just everyone in the community has made, you know, my first week here feel very welcoming and just made me feel a part of this at a higher level when, you know, obviously it's a unique circumstance. So I'm very grateful for that and looking forward to just becoming more acclimated with the group and understanding how I can be as effective as I can to help us win games. And ultimately our goal is to win the BBL and do as well as we can in EuroLeague. So I'm excited to experience that. Unfortunate that I can't play in the EuroLeague games, but I think a good experience for me to watch those games and then at the same time learn more about my teammates. So then, you know, I can be a better player for our team in BBL games.
Later on, we will talk about your personal career, your personal life for sure. But now, to have a new point after what you said, you have to bring your strengths to the team. What is your strengths? What would you say?
I would say I'm a versatile player. I like to probably play the power forward position the most and sort of be that undersized sort of versatile four. I think I'm a really good athlete and I think I can bring my athleticism and strength and be able to use that to my advantage in the BBL. But whether that, you know, be running the floor, getting easy baskets, rebounding the ball at a high level is definitely one of my strengths. But I guess having a good mix of being an inside and out player. I feel like I shoot the ball really well and can also put a lot of heat on the rim. And I feel like I've done a good job of that in the first two games so far, just finishing some plays and, you know, making my presence known, but definitely want to improve on, I guess, being a better rebounder. And I think part of that is just understanding our sort of team tactics when it comes to that, like the right time to go, the right time to sort of get back on defense and be safety, and also just getting a feel of the league and how I can be effective in that. But as well as that, you know, just hunting shots. And again, what I'm talking about, like bringing my strengths to the group, like I feel like I'm too good of a shooter not to obviously shoot the ball in games, but just understanding where I'm going to get looks and not forcing anything and just trying to be, I guess, and make the transition as seamless as possible.
How was the first feedback from the coach, from Gordon Herbert?
It was good. Everyone's been really good and positive with me so far. I think more often than not, I'm more of my harshest critic and understand where I can be better, and I'm pretty quick to, I guess, realize that. But everything's been really positive so far. I think the main thing that they've been reinforcing to me is just continuing to be aggressive and be myself. Like, they've brought me here because of what I bring, so not to sort of hold anything back, you know, be aggressive defensively, offensively, rebounding, running. And, you know, obviously just tactically I'm learning a lot of plays and stuff about the team on the fly, but you know, the only mistake I can really make at this point and what's been encouraged to me is just play hard. If I play hard and make a mistake playing hard, like, that's something that, you know, I should live with in the situation and that they can live with. But if I'm sort of tentative or, you know, playing on the back foot or not being as aggressive as I should be, that's you know, when I'm going to be making a true mistake. So just thinking about that.
Gordy always is talking about the roles. Every right. Every team member has a special role in his philosophy of a team. Did he talk about with you about your role?
Yeah, I think, well, specifically, I guess just being like tough and rebounding and defense, first of all. And I think those are things that you can sort of control coming into a game. Like, you know, you're not always going to hit shots. You're not always going to have the ball in your hands. But, you know, my communication out on the floor, my presence, my ability to be physical. Obviously, almost got fouled out in the first game. But I think just feeling out, you know, how the game's officiated, the pace of the game, how I can, again, be most effective as a player, is still something that I'm, you know, trying to fine tune and work out, you know, how I can be the best I can be. But ultimately, you know, being that defender, rebounder, obviously we're a big down, Oscar's hurt, and you know, it's that tail end of the season when some guys need rest, so just coming in and filling a role there. But you know, being a threat from the perimeter, being aggressive, and that's something that's been I guess reinforced to me from coaching staff, front office staff, just to come in, have fun, play hard, and just be aggressive, be assertive.
Did you know one of your teammates now from the past?
I knew of a bunch of guys. Like, I think that's the beauty of basketball. It's a pretty, I guess, small world. And, like, you know, so I played against
a big family in a small world.
100%. Yeah. So, like, I'd played against Andy and Joe at the World Cup a couple of years ago with the national team.
And you lost. I'm sorry,
Germany beat everyone, so yes. I wasn't alone there. But
so you know your coach now from the opponent's generation, then, eh?
But he has bragging rights over me. So, yeah. But I pretty much knew of most of the guys just from being a basketball fan, and, you know, like Carson and Shabazz and Devin, like, I've known and seen for years, and but it's been great getting here and, you know, meeting these guys in person and you know, just getting to know them as people as opposed to just basketball players. Like, I think that's the beauty of this club. I think has made my transition, I guess, so smooth is, you know, it's just high character people first and foremost, from playing group to staff to coaches to front office. Everyone that I've interacted with in this first week so far has just been good people. And I think that goes a long way.
So it's quite easy then to feel a little bit like at home.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, that makes all the difference and has, for me, coming in so late to something that's already, you know, an established team, an established group. Right. And then, you know, me as an outsider coming in, like, how can I fit into all this? It definitely makes things a lot easier for me when people are so welcoming. and embrace me as a person as well, and my strengths and what I can bring to the group. So,
but then it counts on the court, right?
100%. And it just gives me more confidence to go out there and do my job. And, you know, I'm able to communicate with my teammates on the fly. And you need to sort of build these relationships quick, because, you know, when you're out there competing, you got to be able to give direct messages in the heat of the moment, and things can get emotional. Guys are, you know, obviously fierce competitors, and, you know, as we all are. And, you know, when you cross that line, it's sort of, you know, you got to be in that mode. So I think, you know, our ability to sort of just joke around and sort of get to know each other really quick has been helpful for me to, you know, feel comfortable in doing that out on the court.
What not nobody knows, you played a full season the last season in Australia.
Right.
And you became a second at the championship, and the season now in Australia is over. So you came to Germany after the season in Australia. So first of all, congratulations to the second place there. I think that was for you as a player, a terrible loss in the fifth game of the final round. But you decided then after the season, okay, I don't make holiday, I don't make vacation, something like that. I go now to Europe. I want to play basketball, more basketball. What is the reason so many players then go to holiday or something like that? And you said, no, I want to go to Germany to play basketball. Why?
I was definitely had the thought in my head of trying to have a holiday or something like that. You know, I'm 27 now, and I've never done that for myself. So it was definitely something I was thinking about, myself and my girlfriend. And, you know, I was disappointed after the loss, and just wanted to give my body a quick rest as well. Like, I've sort of been nonstop for 5 years now.
Without holiday?
Without holiday.
Wow.
So, but like, I love basketball. So it's, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it took like a week, had a wedding, had like a weekend away with my girlfriend's family, which was nice, and then came back and...
Sorry to interrupt, but a week is nothing.
It felt like a lot for me.
All right.
But I remember like landing, so we went to Sydney and then landed back after that on like Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone to Coach Herbert.
On the phone personally?
Yeah, at the airport. And we were talking, and then...
it was the first time you had him on the phone?
Yeah, he just called me as soon as I landed and spoke with him for sort of 10, 15 minutes, and then called my agent, and then, you know, decided, you know, this sort of situation was going to be a positive thing for me and a good thing for me to experience. Went from there, and before I knew it, I was signing contracts on Monday, and yeah, found myself here on Thursday.
What did your girlfriend say?
Well, I was hoping that she was going to be able to come with on the trip, but just with her work, she wasn't able to travel right away, which was unfortunate, but she's holding it down right now at the house, and she'll be out here next month, towards the end of next month.
But for the finals, to watch her swing. She's used to that you are playing basketball around the world.
Yeah, she understands it, and she encouraged it. Like, she understood that it'd be a good opportunity for me, which, you know, I'm super fortunate for her. And, you know, it's relatively, like, I've known her for a long time, but, like, the relationship's still, I guess, pretty fresh. She's elite when it comes to that, and encouraged me. And I think for me personally, like, I feel bad, and like, I feel like I'm an inconvenience for my partner. And I'm sure a lot of guys kind of feel that way, because, you know, there's so much uncertainty with our career and where we're going to play next. And, you know, it's a pretty, I guess, unique thing about our job compared to other jobs in terms of stability and stuff like that. So, she's been great with that thus far, and she's getting, I guess, a taste of what
most important thing, most important thing. Yeah. In her life, that the girlfriend is
gotta keep her happy. Decisions.
Yeah, for sure. In Germany, we say happy wife, happy life.
I say that everywhere. but she actually has like a little bit of a German background, which is cool. And she's never been to Munich. So I've been talking it up in my first week so far, telling her that she'll love it here and everything like that. So I'm excited to, you know, have her here at the end of next month, and she can experience like the finals basketball out here. And then maybe after this season is done, we can take a couple weeks. And
so the aim is the championship in Germany, right?
100%. Yeah, well, especially after losing in Australia, yes. I need one this year. So fortunate enough to be in a position, you know, where we're able to get one, and super realistic goal for us.
every fan of Bayern Munich basketball is very happy to hear that. And for sure, this is the goal for the whole club, for the whole organization, and especially for the fans as well, to celebrate at the end of the season the title in the BBL. What was your first thought when Coach Herbert was on the phone? You landed in Sydney at the airport. You said you never talked to him before on the phone or something like that.
Yeah.
So what did he say? Hi, it's Gordon Herbert. I want to talk...
Yeah.
Did he introduce himself? Or
yeah.
How does that go? How is this going on?
Yeah. Well, it was. I kind of had a hunch it was him. My agent hadn't told me. Well, I literally just hopped off the plane and I was at like the baggage claim, waiting for bags, and then had this number call and I assumed it was him. And yeah, he just picked it up. It was just super organic. He was like, hey Jack, we've been talking, trying to get this done. Think you can fit in this way, we play X, Y, and Z and think you can bring X, Y, and Z. And it's just like a pretty easygoing chat. And I think that's a good thing about Coach is he's not like super sort of like in your face. I think he understands like at the end of the day, like we're all professionals as well. And a lot of the onus of the group is on the players. Like at the end of the day, the tactics and everything like that, like he takes care of, but like when the ball's thrown up, like it's us players out there and we need to, sort of get things done. So I think, he puts a lot of respect and trust in his playing group. And I think, that's a sort of relationship that goes both ways and I think is a really positive thing.
And he was a player as well.
Yeah, so he understands.
Very early, he moved from Canada to Finland. So right. He knows what does it mean to go to the other end of the world.
100%. And, so yeah, I think like just that sort of conversation with him like made me feel a lot more comfortable, and I think it says a lot about a club when your head coach is contacting a player directly. And as you said, like we're three quarters through EuroLeague season, BBL, and like he's taking the time to talk to me and thinks that I can help the group. Like it meant a lot for me and gave me more confidence in the situation. So yeah, pretty much got to work straight away. I did my research on the team and tried to understand, the style of play and how I'd be able to fit and the city and things like that, whether I'd be able to get my girlfriend to come over with me and flights and just sort of taking care of my stuff in Melbourne and the house and making sure everything was, sort of sorted there.
And now it's living from a bag.
And living from a bag, but I'm out of the hotel, which isn't good, so feeling a bit more put together. Steph K's got me sorted with all the gear and stuff, so I got some fresh Adidas shoes on, or Adidas, I don't know what the pronunciation is out here. Adidas, we say it in Australia.
It's Adidas.
Adidas.
Adidas. Very good.
I'll work on it.
Yes, Wunderbar. This is quite perfect.
Wunderbar.
But what about your German? Wunderbar?
Danke, bitte, Oschwart.
What?
Danke,
bitte, yes.
Bitte, Oschwart, exit.
Oschwart?
Exit?
Exit, Ausgang. Ausfahrt. Auf der Autobahn, on the motorway.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 8, 9, 10, also auf 13, 14. I got some stuff. A work in progress.
You don't need much more.
some bad words, but...
Really?
We won't say those.
Not here in the podcast.
No, never
in the podcast. Let's talk about you and your personal career. When did you start playing basketball? How old were you?
I was like 5 or 6.
5 years old, so very young.
But in Australia, we have like a bunch of sort of, they call it Aussie hoops now, but it was called Billy Ball when I was a kid. And it's just sort of like, I guess, an introduction to basketball. And did that, like my dad was a pretty good referee and my mum played just a little bit locally and stuff like that. So
a basketball referee?
Yep.
Okay.
So he refereed like state level and national level, was pretty good. And but when I was a kid, tried out at least a bunch of different sports, like played tennis and cricket, basketball and Australian football. I was showing you guys before.
We had a short conversation before our podcast recording here, and you showed us something about Australian football.
Yeah,
it's for us in Germany, I would say it's like a little bit like rugby.
Yeah, it's a little bit like rugby, but probably a little bit more dynamic.
More dynamic than rugby?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, great sport, biggest sport in Australia. Yes. A lot of fun, but not easy on the body because you're getting tackled and everything like that. But yeah, like knew from sort of a young age, and I definitely wasn't as good at basketball as I was some of the other sports, especially the Australian football bit. Knew early on, like it was my favorite and I love playing it the most, and just sort of couldn't get the ball out of my hand, and sort of decided when I was 12, 13 years old that I really wanted to pursue basketball and try and make a career out of it.
You recognized your talent when? Or your father? Or was there a special coach?
No. Well, like I started playing senior basketball when I was 14 with like a local state league team, Latrobe City Energy. They definitely took me under their wing and helped me improve a lot. And I think, you know, I was probably 6'3", like 190 centimeters when I was 14 or 15. And, you know, obviously fortunate to be able to go to that height, because that's one thing that helps with basketball, obviously, is being tall. And
but your first position then was the five?
Yeah.
So early, so tall?
I was usually, well, locally where I grew up, because I was from a small town, Traralgon.
This is two hours away from Melbourne?
2 hours from Melbourne. Mm. So I was more often than not sort of the tallest on my team,
okay,
or close to it. So I'd sort of played big from an early age, but, you know, sort of had that versatility, I suppose, with my game. Like I could always shoot it pretty good and was a decent athlete. And could sort of play multiple positions, I guess, like similar to how I am now. And then, yeah, like played for my first state team when I was 14, turning 15. So under 16s at that point. And from there, like just like made these teams and like just wanted more and more and like just became more and more obsessed. And it probably wasn't until we had under 18 national championships and I had a really good tournament. And after that, I went to the Australian Institute of Sport and got offered a scholarship to go there.
Is it like a college or something like that?
It's
like an academy?
Academy.
Like a sport academy, yeah?
Yeah.
In the States, there are some academies as well. Not every young player is in a college.
Right.
There are academies as well, so okay.
Yeah, so finished high school there, was there for 2 years. Our current national team coach, Adam Capehorn, he was actually the coach of that program at the time and offered me the scholarship. So yeah, crazy that's gone sort of full circle. I was there for 2 years, and at the time, like, there wasn't really many, I guess, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds like playing in the NBL. And when I was growing up, the NBL in like the league in Australia definitely wasn't what it is today in terms of a pathway for younger guys, or, you know, just as good a league as it is today. So
became,
I knew from an early age.
It became better and better and better in the last years.
100%. Like the last probably 6 or 7 years especially, like the league got a new owner and he really did a great job of promoting the game in Australia and bringing better local talent back in and just having it be a better product, and wanting, well, as well, like a pathway for young guys. Like LaMelo Ball played over there, Josh Giddey, RJ Hampton, Alex Saar. Like a lot of, you know, high quality prospects have come to the league and, you know, found that to be a really great pathway for them to make the next step in their career. But yeah, like when I was younger, I really sort of had my mind set on going to college in the States. And
and you did.
And yeah, was very fortunate with my recruiting process and, you know, played for junior national team and things of that nature. And yeah, ended up at Duke, which was
in Duke, yeah. So in one of the most famous colleges in the States. So Duke is one of the best teams as well. I think they reached the semifinal in March Madness a few weeks ago.
They just lost in the Final Four on the weekend, I guess.
Yes. And Cooper Flagg is there.
Yeah.
Maybe the number one pick in the next draft. We will see if he decides to go to the draft, then he will be the number one pick, I think. But Duke is a very traditional. There's a big history in this whole college. And you were there for 4 years, right? Yep. Why Duke? Why did you decide to Duke? Or did Duke decide For you, Jack?
Well, a bit of both. Well, so I sort of found my biggest improvement as a player was when I made the jump from like living at home to going to this sports academy, the AIS. And that was sort of, I suppose, my outlook for college was trying to put myself in the most challenging environment possible and, you know, seeing what I'm made of, and coming out the other side of it, you know, challenged but better from it. And I think that was the perfect situation at Duke in my mind. Was, you know, the basketball was obviously at a high level, and coaching, being coached by Coach K, obviously a huge honor, and academically as well. Like, the school is a very, I guess, highly touted academic institution as well. And, you know, getting a free education, being on scholarship, and to be able to go to a school like this is something that I definitely didn't take for granted, and, you know, made my parents happy and things like that, that I was able to get a, you know, a really good education and be around, you know, really high quality people at the same time. So it just sort of made sense in my head. I think it was, yes, you know, just sort of the perfect situation for me to continue to challenge myself and get better. And had my fair share of ups and downs and challenges, but I think ultimately when I finished up, it prepared me well for being a professional and stepping into that. And at the end of the 4 years, you know, had a bunch of unbelievable teammates, great people, friends that I still have up until this day. Was able to captain the team for 2 years.
This is a big honor as well.
Yeah, a huge honor. And I was the first Aussie male to go there. And, you know, for me, like, from a small town, and, you know, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I'd be in these sort of positions. Mm. It's, yeah, it's pretty surreal, but, yeah, not taking it for granted.
When was for you in your way, or in the 4 years in Duke, when was it clear for you, I will bring it to the NBA? I think that was the goal for sure. Mm-hmm. Every young player has the goal to go to the NBA. I think you tried to go to the NBA in 2020, the first time in the draft, and you were undrafted. But you made it.
Right.
So this is... there are not so many people in the world who made it to the NBA. So this is a great goal you reached. I think 17 games until now in the NBA. But I think the NBA is, this is another world in basketball, right?
Right. Yeah, my path to the NBA was definitely unique. Like, I didn't even, enter the draft, or like, I didn't have a great last year at Duke. And COVID sort of cut everything short really quick. And, you know, straight away after, in my off seasons while I was at Duke, I would go and work out with Melbourne United, the professional team I was just playing with. So I already had really good, I guess, relationships with the players and coaching staff there, and was just a bit of a no-brainer to go and sign there and start my professional career there. And college finished and I went over there and played 9 games, broke this finger, was out for a month, and then in my second game back, tore my Achilles.
Oh no.
So that was an unfortunate start to my professional career.
Shit.
But you know, it's part of basketball, you know, it's, sure, you know, brings a certain risk and toll on your body, and you know, you never wish that sort of stuff on anyone, you know, like the ACLs and the Achilles and things like that, like the most serious injuries. Definitely suck, but again, like, similar thing that I was talking about before, like, you know, you go through these sort of challenging situations, you see what you're made of, and it's weird, man. Like, I think tearing my Achilles and me going to a dark place and then having to, you know, sort of reemerge as and embracing that challenge of trying to come back better was something that helped me. And I definitely felt like I came back better and more athletic and more confident after the injury. And I definitely couldn't have done it on my own. Like, the medical staff that we had in Melbourne were unbelievable. Strength, conditioning, coaches, teammates, like, the support I had. And I think too, like, being in Melbourne, like, sort of close to family and friends, helped me a lot with, you know, mentally remaining positive.
Mm-hmm.
So came back from that in just under 9 months, which was really good timing for an Achilles injury. And, went through that second season at Melbourne United, had a pretty solid year, and got an invite to go to Summer League and had a really good week at Summer League. And yeah, got the two-way contract from there with the Nuggets, which was a dream come true. And yes, again, pretty surreal. Like 6 months after I'd come back from the Achilles, from the injury. Was crazy, yeah.
So your way was for the Summer League. And so I think the basketball nerds, the basketball fans in Germany knows about the Summer League. And there are some opportunities to watch Summer League games here in Germany as well. And this is another first step, try to get a contract in the NBA. You get a two-way contract. That means that you are able to play for the first team, for the Denver Nuggets, and for the G League team, the second team, as well as you did. And that was the year, I think, when the Denver Nuggets in 22-23 became champion.
Right.
So you were a member of the championship team, so congratulations, Paul West, with Coach Michael Malone.
Yep.
He was fired a few days ago. That was a big surprise for you as well, right?
Crazy, yeah.
This is completely crazy.
Especially this stage of the season.
Do you have some contacts to some of the former teammates?
Yeah, I haven't asked them about it.
You haven't?
I haven't yet, no. Yeah. I've just sort of let the situation settle, hopefully.
But okay, so we can...
Watching from afar. I don't have any insights.
Yes, no. Okay, so I don't have to ask about the insights, but no. I think that was a completely crazy situation after a season like that, because they have a good season as well, with the biggest chances in the playoffs now coming up. But let's talk about these guys you played with in the Denver Nuggets team. Nikola Jokic for sure, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray. These are superstars. And with them, to play with guys like that, especially with Nikola Jokic, how is that? How does that feel?
Special. I think, again, like going into that sort of environment, my first NBA experience, you sort of don't know what to expect.
it's like a paradise or...
Yeah, well, like I feel like as an international, and I feel like, I don't know, maybe Europeans can sort of relate, but you know, you think like NBA, like ego, a lot of money, like, you know, kind of standoffish, whatever. But you know, I got to Denver and like worked out pretty quick, like everyone's just normal people. And I think that's a credit to, I guess, the recruiting and the draft process, like who the Nuggets bring in. Obviously when your best players Nikola, and he doesn't care about himself. Like, if you're a selfish player, then that stands out even more when your best player is so selfless. You know, that just sets a great culture within the group and the playing group. And like, obviously, you need to have talent to win, but I think, you know, having that sort of good team culture in that good locker room and a good mixture of vets like Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, Ish Smith, Reggie Jackson when he came in later in the season. Like, these are all guys that had never won before, but had been like incredible pros for years and years and years, and like just wanted to do whatever they could to help the team win. And like, same with like Nikola doing everything he could, like Aaron Gordon doing everything good, like MPJ, Jamal, like everyone had a role to play and everyone embraced it. And I think that was a beauty within the group, is like you could talk to anyone in the moment. Nothing was taken personally because like everyone got along off the court and like everyone was just good people. And I think, you know, it just made the experience for me as my first time in the NBA like that much more special, was, you know, being a part of such a great group and like being friends with everyone. Like like I could text Nikola tomorrow and like he'd hit me back, and we like still, you know, talk smack to each other, and like Jamal and like just regular guys.
How is that? How is that? Do you have the mobile of Nikola, for example, in your phone now?
Yeah.
So we could phone him now. No, we don't do. But
I could, but like I texted him for his birthday, and he replied back, and he sent me a picture. He's just had a son.
Oh wow.
But like, you know, he doesn't have to talk to me. Like, I was just with him for a year. Like, I'm just some random Aussie guy, but like, he's just like, our lockers were next to each other in the locker room. So like, we got to spend a lot of time, and no, he's just a cool, regular dude. And people ask me about him all the time. It's just like,
for sure,
man, like, he's just like, I don't have anything to tell you about. Like, he's just normal. Like, he's just incredible at basketball.
But it's unnormal what he's playing sometimes.
Oh, he is ridiculous, but like, he just watches horse racing on his phone.
I know.
goes back to his family, hangs out with his kids, and you'll see him at practice tomorrow. And like when the season's done, he's just going back to Songbo.
He's
racing horses.
He's always talking about that, don't know, yeah.
But he's just like family, like very down to earth guy, funny, like great teammate. Like great player, but like great teammate.
The whole teammates from the Denver Nuggets team of 22-23, as you explain it, is that the reason that this team became champion? Because it was a perfect group?
I think a large part
of it. And the thesis is you have to be a perfect group when you want to become champion.
I think so. And I think like, I think being part of it, like obviously you need to have the talent. You need to be good at basketball to be able to win games. You need to have certain luck and I suppose luck, but like being injury free, like you need to be healthy and sure. You know, need to be available to play. And like we definitely had a really good year, and again, like that doesn't happen without guys taking care of themselves, without our mm-hmm. medical staff
mm-hmm.
doing their job. So
that's part of the group as well.
Yeah. But it's like it's a credit to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think like having good people around, and like, you know, it's a long season. You play 82 regular season games. You're going to have losses. You're going to have losing streaks. You're going to have great wins. Like things are going to be up and down. But if you come back to the locker room and like you look around the room and you have good people there, and like people pick each other up and like actually care about each other, that goes such a long way during that long of a season. And being able to be successful and having like true bonds and like friendships with your teammates. I think it's so important to winning and having a good culture and a good locker room. And
to have a good locker room, to have a good culture, to have a great group.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why Germany became world champion in 23 as well. I think you can ask your actual coach now 100%. And he will say, yes, that was the reason for that.
100%. Yeah. And you could tell like just playing against them, like they're so together, like no external distraction or, you know, whatever the other team's doing could, like it's always like, worried about us, like what can we do, what can we control. And I think like that sort of mindset, and it's like drilled into you, and you know, obviously the coach reinforces that. But again, like you got to have good people. Like no one's going to want to be a great teammate to you if you're a bad person. So I think if you have, you know, in FIBA like 12 people that are truly locked in and good people and want to play their role to the best of their ability for the betterment of the group and not because I want to do this, then I think you know, you've got a pretty good recipe for success.
From your point of view, what of this do you find now here in Munich from your first impression?
I think it's the same thing.
So this is a great group?
100%. And like I talked to you at the start, like I've been here for a week.
Yes.
I feel like I'm boys with everyone and like joking around with all the fellas, and like I feel like I'm pretty good at, I guess, like talking to people and, you know, joking around and, you know, like sort of the Aussie guy and whatever. But
you're very open-minded.
Yeah, you know? But for them too. Like for them too, I'm the outsider coming in three quarters of the way through your season. Like I've never played with any of these guys before. Like no one knows me. And so, you know, like it, like part of it's on me to like be a good guy and show good intentions and, you know, like I guess, you know, try and demonstrate who I am as a player and obviously as a person as well, and who I am in the locker room as a teammate and just as a person in general. But again, like I can't give enough credit to the group for how like I've been received. And like just from the first practice, like we practiced last Saturday, we have a game on Sunday, like I'm straight into it. Haven't really had all that much time to adjust, but I think it's been good, and I feel like it's sort of forced us to get this thing moving pretty quick. And I'm loving the experience so far, loving the people. It's a great locker room. It's a fun group to be a part of. Coaching staff has been unbelievable, getting me up to speed.
This is especially because of father and son.
Yeah, right? It's cool.
It's Gordy different. And his son, Daniel. Yeah.
But now, like, good people, like everyone's funny, everyone's got a good sense of humor, everyone's very like personable and approachable, which is good for me. Like, you know, obviously I've had a bunch of questions and
for sure
trying to make sure like I'm doing everything the right way, and I don't want to be
questions about basketball or questions about Munich or Bavaria, Germany,
everything. And I think you know, like Gordy and Danny are obviously not from here, so like, you know, there's plenty of, you know, talking to Carson, talking to Shabazz, like there's guys that aren't from here that have obviously like acclimated to the way of life here in Munich. So yeah, like just trying to, I guess, embrace the culture, embrace the city, trying to have a, you know, the most complete experience I can.
Going back to your time in the NBA, as I said, you had 17 games, some of them in Denver, and I think you had a 10-day contract in the last season in Memphis. Memphis, there was a kind of crisis team last year, a very difficult season because of many, many injuries. They had 33 players during the whole season in the roster. Many, many players got a 10-day a contract. One of them were you. Taylor Jenkins was the coach there. He was fired a few weeks ago as well. Crazy. Now it was Thomas Isalo, there's an assistant coach. Last year was in Paris, and he had a former BBL career here in Bonn and in Kreilsheim. Now he's the head coach, or the interim head coach with for the Memphis Grizzlies. He was the assistant in this season, not your assistant coach for the days. But that was a crazy situation for us as well to see this here from Europe. Many, many experts didn't understand why that happened, but nobody has insights. So it's this is quite kind of the business there. Yeah. But how difficult is it as a player to come to a team with a 10-day contract? I always ask this myself when I commentate the NBA games for the German television, and there's a new player. There are so many examples, and I always think about that. Okay, 10 days.
Yeah.
What a fuck up contract. No, sorry to say that.
It's no, it's weird. And like we were talking about, like this is unique, but like that's weird and crazy.
This is weird and crazy.
And I had a really good experience with the Grizzlies, and like I knew kind of a handful of the guys, like Luke Kennard, I went to college with, Scottie Pippen Jr., like, you know, I played with him in LA.
Salt Bay Lakers, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like I knew some of these guys, and like the GM of the team was a Duke guy, so knew of him. And that was the thing, like when Taylor Jenkins got fired, like I was so confused. I thought he was like perfect for the club. Incredible communicator, incredible mind for the game. Great person. So like definitely shocked me when I heard the news about
most wins as a head coach in the Grizzlies history.
Which, wild. And like they're a franchise that's sort of been building and building and building, and he's been a big part of that. So no, it's definitely unfortunate to see that decision be made, but again, that's sort of the nature of the NBA. And like speaking of 10-day contracts, like it's just, you never know what to expect. Like things happen so quick, like people move on so quick. It's definitely, in my eyes, like a superstar league. Like, you know, there's probably a handful of untouchable guys. Otherwise, you know, like you see Luka gets traded, and Anthony Davis, and like it's, you never know what to expect.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a, yeah, it's wild over there, but
it's in Europe, it's much calmer.
Yeah, well, same in Australia.
Australia as well.
Same in Australia.
So what is your personal plan now here? For sure, as you said, the goal is to win the championship in Germany, the BBL with Bayern Munich for sure. What is your personal hope from this time here in Germany? Or do you have any plans for the next year? I think you have a contract for the next season in Melbourne as well?
Yeah, I did. I had a player option for next year, but I opted out. I think like the beautiful thing about this experience is that one, like it's a great opportunity for me to come in and play and continue to learn and improve. An incredible opportunity for me to come in and contribute to winning and try and win a championship with this group. You know, it would have been great to be able to play, obviously, EuroLeague games and see how I sort of fit in that realm. But I think just watching from the sidelines gives me, you know, a good taste of what it's like at least.
Yeah, but the goal is to play EuroLeague as well, for sure.
Yeah, if I'm going to play in Europe, then I want to play EuroLeague.
So, do we have any? So you have the contract until the end of the season for sure. But now, from the first impression, the first week, the first days here in Munich, is there an opportunity to have to have you maybe longer in this group?
Or? I think so. But you know, I'm going to put my best foot forward for the rest of this season, and then. Yeah, hopefully make good impressions with the coaching staff, team, front office, everyone in the sort of basketball community here. Like, obviously me coming here this late, like, and what I've said to you so far in the podcast, like, I'm a big fan of this place. I think Munich's a beautiful city, and it's my first time in Germany, first time obviously experiencing life out here. And I'm enjoying it so far and would definitely be open to, you know, extending beyond this mm-hmm. season. And I think that's like one thing I wanted to sort of opt out of my player option in Melbourne is that, you know, I'm 27, 28 years old and sort of coming into the prime of my career and really want to see if I can experience different things and, you know, continue to improve. And, you know, I want to play at the next Olympics. I want to play at the next World Cup. I want to be the best player I can for my national team and try and beat Germany at the next World Cup. And
maybe that's a long-term goal as well, because the Olympics in 32.
Brisbane.
I think this is a dream for an Aussie player as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, by that point...
I think about that, but then you are about...
34,
35. Oh, but that's okay.
So, hopefully I'm still, you know, kicking pretty good and looking the part. But yeah, like if I'm, you know, have goals in my mind for how my career to pan out and, you know, again...
Which goals? Which goals do you have in your mind?
I want to play at the next two Olympics. I want to play the next two World Cups.
Return to the NBA?
Potentially, if it's the right situation. I definitely want to get at least one more crack at it to see, you know, if I can get in a good situation. And, you know, like when you're a kid and you're a basketball player, it's like NBA. But, like, I don't want to be in the NBA just to be there and then just be on the end of a bench. Right. Like... You know, I've torn my Achilles. I had an up and down college career. Like, I'm really trying to play and contribute to winning and be a part of something special and, you know, see how good I can be, continue to improve so I can play for my national team and try and win a medal for my national team. That's my ultimate career goal.
All right.
I want to represent Australia at as many international events as I can. And
But with this experience, would you say it is better for you as a person, as a basketball player, to play in Europe or to play in Australia or to sit on the bench on the NBA?
Oh, Europe or Australia, for sure.
It's always better to play, right?
Always better to play. Mm. And that's been my experience. Like, it might be different for other people.
And you made that, yeah.
I don't know, each to their own, but definitely for me, like, you know, like being in those situations where you're in the game and there's pressure, there's stakes, like they're the situations you want as a competitor, right? So I definitely want to be a part of that. Like, it sucks that, you know, my team in Australia, we lost the championship this year, but like, what an incredible opportunity to be able to come here and, you know, try and compete for one and, you know, and win the BBL. Like, I'd love nothing more than that sort of opportunity, that redemption for me personally after losing a tough one. Like, for the rest of my career, like, I just want to be remembered as a competitor and a winner. Someone who tried to keep improving and learning and made the most of each of his experiences and ultimately, like, you know, just working hard. And
but they told you how hard it is to win the championship in Germany, yeah?
Yeah.
We see that in the BBL Pokal, the cup.
Right.
Where Bayern Munich lost the semi-final a few weeks ago. I think it was in the beginning of February. So in Germany, we have so many teams. Everybody can beat everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every team can beat every team.
I think that makes a great league. Yeah. And I think, like, similar thing in Australia. Like, the team that won it, like, wasn't great last year. But, like, you know, they play the right way. They play hard. Again, anyone can beat anyone. And I think it just makes for a great league. It makes for a great product for the spectator, for the fan of the sport. But it makes you have to bring your A game every night or else you're going to get exposed. So I think that's how it should be anyway. Like, you know, again, like, you can't play basketball forever. Like, your body just can't handle it. Like if I'm turning 28 this year, like, let's say I have 10, hopefully 12 years, we'll see how my body holds up, but like, these years go by quick. Like, it feels like yesterday I was just in college and now I'm you know,
about everybody to finish. Everybody knows that, right? time flies
so like, you can't take this for granted. So every game, like, you gotta make sure you bring it or else you're gonna get exposed. So yeah, and again, like, we're so fortunate to be able to do what we do. And I don't think, like, I don't think I'll truly realize that till after it's all done. And I'm probably trying to hold on for too long and, like, play local competition or, like, whatever. But yeah, no, I ultimately want to win. And I think, you talk about having good groups, like winning that with a good group, man, like there's no better feeling than that. No better feeling than that. Because like, you know, you deserve it. Everyone's had each other's back, and you have that like memory together. It's pretty special.
At the end of every podcast here, I ask my guests for the top three players or coaches in your career, or and not only teammates. LeBron James would be able as well. So, what are your perfect three basketball players or coaches? You know,
that I've played with or against or been coached by or anyone.
Anyone. Damn. You saw on television. Well, everything is possible. And you know, we had every answer about that here.
Jokic?
Okay, you told us why.
Do you want me to tell you why?
No, you told us.
I was going to say, everyone knows.
You told us in this podcast.
Damn. Can I give you... I'm going to give you three coaches.
Yeah.
And three players.
Yeah, okay.
Three coaches. Adam Caporn, the Australian national team coach, gave me the scholarship to the AIS.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, over 10 years ago now. That's crazy. 11 years ago.
This is such a blast.
Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dean Vickerman, my coach at Melbourne.
Okay.
They're probably the three most influential players on me.
So the coaches, okay.
And then players. So I got Jokic, Chris Golding.
Who's that?
One of the most incredible, if not the most incredible shooter I've ever seen.
You played with him?
Melbourne United,
okay.
He actually played for Paris 2 or 3 years ago to finish their season, like similar to what I'm doing.
He's a shooter like Andy Obst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like same bracket.
All right.
Unbelievable. Okay.
I think Andy knows him.
Yeah, they would have to know each other. They would know each other.
Yeah.
And then, damn, because like
now, I would ask you,
now
I would,
this is tough because I'm thinking about like I played with Jason Tatum in college. I played with Zion Williamson in college. Like RJ Barrett in college.
Okay, these are all crazy guys.
My boy Grayson Allen, Luke Kennard.
Did you saw the buzzer beater from Josh Giddey?
Josh Giddey, yeah, half court. Like half I court. With Josh. Like Dyson,
2 weeks ago.
Dyson Daniels doing crazy things in the NBA this year.
Yes.
Damn. Like Jamal Murray. I love more.
Okay, then I will ask you the last question. Who's the GOAT? Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Oh, I'd be switching up. In terms of like best player, here's what's tough for me because I'd be thinking about, I think Jordan, his impact on the game and everything like that was more monumental at the time. And right. I think the NBA's definitely like had like a small decline recently. And I think like the NBA was going crazy, especially in the 90s when Jordan was the face of the league and everything like that. So I don't think that can be discounted. So I think Jordan is probably the greatest in that respect. But like you talk like longevity, career, like Horns. LeBron is like absurd. So I don't think that can be discounted. I think because I grew up in this era, like I've watched more LeBron. So I think I'm going to be biased to that because I've seen him do some crazy stuff in my lifetime. But yeah, I wish, I don't think you'll rarely hear people say, I wish I was older so I could sort of grow up seeing both.
So I think for me. So you wish you could be as old as me.
Yeah.
Like I'm 45, you know?
Yeah. Like I wish I could have seen like Jordan growing up and like what he was doing like live and in person.
Because of that, I'm always Team Jordan.
Like,
because
of that. And I respect that because
like
that's, like core memories and like you grow up like watching that stuff and it's like and like he was like he's the guy. So but then like for me growing up is like always like Kobe and LeBron and these guys. So I think it all depends on like when you grew up, it does. Honestly, but yeah. Like obviously just both incredible players.
So it's so great to have you here. It's great to hear some experience about your career. As you said at the end, now you played with Jason Tatum, with Zion Williams, and all these guys. The experience in the NBA, the experience in the NBL, and then now in the BBL here in Germany. Mm. So we are so happy to have you here. Thank you so much. All the best for the 2 or 3 months now in Munich, and maybe we will see you again.
We'll see.
Next season, otherwise we will see you on television. You're a great sympathetic guy. Thank you for the interview. Thank you for the podcast.
I appreciate it. And thank you for the English.
I tried my best. Jack White, wenn es euch gefallen hat, war's ein cooler Typ, dann lasst gerne ein paar Sterne da und schickt uns eine Bewertung oder wie auch immer. Open Court gibt's demnächst dann wieder mit Jens und Steffen, das ist völlig klar, rund ums Sportliche, und wir hören uns dann auch nochmal in dieser Saison. Da bin ich mir ganz sicher. Das war's für diesen Moment. Dankeschön, tschüss und ciao.